I'm Matt Rabel, editor at John Lothian News. Today we're talking with Phil McIntosh, chief economist at NASDAQ, about lessons learned from 2020 and what to expect from 2021. What were the most significant market trends we saw in 2020?
Well, I think if we look back historically, everyone's going to only remember COVID, obviously. But there was a few other interesting trends. We had a pretty hot IPO market after everybody got back to work, so to speak, once we started to see the stimulus coming through the market and the market recovering. We had quite a lot of direct listings and a huge amount of SPACs as well. So we started to see some really strong capital formation. We also saw a lot of retail activity. With growth in the amount of retail trading and the amount of retail investors in the market. And that probably contributed, or both probably contributed, just overall, we had really accelerated stock and option trading volumes. So a lot more liquidity, about a 50% increase in the previous years of liquidity in the stock market, and a record year in options as well.
How did the pandemic move the markets last year? And what after effects do you expect are here to stay?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the COVID sell-off in March was one of those things we probably won't forget in a hurry. We had the four market-wide circuit breakers. We had a lot of limit up, limit down. On the back of it, or maybe on the front of it, I guess you could say, the reason for the sell-off was the 50% of businesses were shut down. Everybody was quarantining. Everyone had canceled their travel. So, you know, that was a massive market-moving event in the start. And then, of course, the government stepped in with monetary policy, with fiscal policy, really unprecedented fiscal stimulus, which turned the market around, turned retail spending around, and turned a lot of stocks around as well. But what we did see was there was winners and losers in the marketplace. So it wasn't like all stocks got the rally. You can definitely see the stocks that benefited from things like the work from home impacts, online retail like Amazon, tech stocks that help us do work like Zoom, Netflix, which my family's been watching plenty of, and also stocks like Moderna that were doing some of the drug research did really well. But a lot of energy stocks, utilities really struggled just with the lack of demand, people not going into the office and commuting like they used to. Real estate suffered with people not going to restaurants. And obviously hotels and airlines still seeing quite low bookings and revenue numbers.
Now, this is a topic that has been discussed quite a lot over the past year. And with the recent short squeeze on GameStop stock, it's become an especially hot topic of discussion. Did the pandemic and the work from home life that so many people lived last year and are continuing to live fuel the big surge in retail trading that we saw?
Arguably, I guess the short answer is yes, but the retail trading sort of started to pick up with zero commissions, and that happened back in late 2019. Having said that, though, there was a definite acceleration of retail trading, reported new account openings as we all started to shut down and the stimulus started to be sent out to people. So I think that there's, looking at some of the data, there's definitely evidence that the work from home and the stimulus and the quarantine did help retail trading. You look at some of what the retail brokers reported in terms of their trading activity, and that seemed to spike significantly, more than doubling. You can see when the stimmies and the social media that everyone's talking about definitely coincided with that increase, the dramatic increase in sort of the second quarter in retail trading activity. Some people said it peaked at about 25% of all volume trading in the US market. And I guess the reason for that is not just the stimmies, but also because when we're working from home, we'd canceled our travel, we'd canceled going to restaurants. Actually, the data shows that people were saving a lot more money than they used to. What are they going to spend their money on? What are they going to spend all that spare time they're not spending commuting on? And I think that's one of the arguments for why the retail trading activity increased. But I think overall, there's a positive side too. It's really good to see more households and some of the younger households getting into the equity market. Because if you look at some of the historical statistics, some say that around about 50% of American households are underinvested or not invested at all in stocks. And that's really important for their long-term financial security, because stocks tend to outperform other kinds of investments that people are using at that low income threshold, especially. So it's really good to see a broadening of the sort of equity ownership universe.
What effect will future stimulus payments have on the economy and the markets?
I mean, that's a super interesting question, isn't it? Because if we sort of look back at 2020 and every time there was stimulus being discussed in DC, the market would be up if it was a positive news that the stimulus might get approved, and it'd be back down the next day if there was some holdups or maybe the stimulus was going to be reduced. So the actual stimulus itself was one of the key drivers of the market. And you look, this time around, the stimulus is way bigger. The $1.9 trillion number that's being discussed is much bigger than all the other stimulus that was still, you know, record levels of fiscal spending. And yet the market volatility has gone down. So right now, I think the market's pretty much pricing in that there's going to be a whole lot of stimulus. And we've got the vaccine rolling out at the same time. People are saying it could be widely available by June. So maybe, I guess the conversation has turned to maybe we won't need the stimulus and maybe we won't even get to spend all of it. And that's been interesting because, you know, looking down the sort of calendar of 2021 into 2022, a lot of the conversation is turning to, you know, what's going to happen with all the debt? What's going to happen with inflation? Are we going to see, we've already seen inflation in a lot of the goods side of the economy where all of the stimulus has sort of triggered excess spending in retail, in a lot of the goods and manufacturing sector. When we all get back to sort of normal with it, when we're all vaccinated, are we going to go spending on services? Is that going to create some demand push inflation in that sector? Or is there enough unemployment in that sector that we're actually not going to cause inflation? But if we do cause inflation, and it's a definite tail risk, interest rates go up, the cost of servicing the debt goes up. That's going to be problematic for governments. It, maybe the US can control that, but globally, everybody's done the same thing. So there's going to be some tough discussions to manage through in the next few years just because of the amount of government debt that's in the system globally and the potential for inflation if there's a whole lot of demand that comes out of all this pent-up savings.
What do you see as being the current priorities for regulators?
So I guess we had a lot of regulatory changes late in the last administration. So the SEC in particular, the new commissioners are going to get in, the new director of trade is going to get in, and they've got a legacy to clean up, which is the NMS2 plans, which were really focused a lot on helping banks and brokers, sophisticated investors to sort of nationalize broader data requirements for them. It had very little to do with retail, but I think what's going on in the last couple of weeks will probably redirect their attention because, you know, retail with all of the Reddit stocks, well, the meme stocks trading so much and just moving around so much as well. Obviously, the SEC is focused on it already. Regulators are focused on it. Congress is focused on it. So I think that's going to be something that we're going to sort of pivot to. And there'll be some changes, potentially changing how we protect retail trading and linking that to social media. I think we'll also see some more fundamental changes to market structure in the clearing space. There's a lot of people already talking about just going to T+1 on an accelerated basis, which reduces the time you wait for your cash to come after you've sold a stock, and maybe some changes to some of the short selling rules. So, you know, some regulatory changes just on the sort of plumbing, I guess you could say, of the market. I think longer term for regulators, it's what we just talked about. They're going to have to worry about rates and the levels of debt and inflation. And that's not the SEC. That's more big picture for Congress to worry about is, you know, how do we deal with potential, I guess, paying off the debt and potential interest rate changes as all this stimulus money gets put into the system.
Well, you touched on it earlier, but I want to go back to the IPO markets. What do you expect to see in this year's IPO markets, given its exceptional performance last year?
Yeah, and you're right. It was exceptional last year. And on a number of levels, the number of IPOs we had, especially considering we had a near shutdown during March, which almost always happens when you get sell-offs, the capital formation that came through after we went back to work was phenomenal. We had a level that's kind of closer to what we used to see in the 90s in terms of new IPOs. But also, we saw really strong first-day returns. We saw really strong 30-plus, 60-plus day returns for the IPOs that were coming to market. So the valuations of the IPOs were pretty strong as well. Looking forward, we still have a strong pipeline, and we're also still seeing these things like direct listings and SPACs, which to me speak to the fact that public markets are starting to compete better with private markets. And that's also good for households because lots of retail investors, lots of households really can only invest in publicly listed stocks. It's quite hard for the average investor to own a private company. So, you know, I think the performance of IPOs still looks pretty strong. And definitely the amount of capital coming into the public markets looks like it's going to be good again this year.
Do you think the economy will recover in 2021? How long do you think it will be before things go back to normal?
Yeah. So the answer to that really depends so much on COVID still, doesn't it? I mean, the vaccines are getting into people's arms. They look promising. Their efficacy is really strong. So if that happens, and there's talk already about us having a surplus of vaccines somewhere in summer, so theoretically, if everybody is vaccinated, at least if we're not traveling internationally, Americans should be able to start traveling domestically and going to restaurants and, to your point, being pretty much back to normal by summer. And that will dramatically increase demand for those services that have been so hit by the lockdowns. The risks, I guess, are with the variants. And so if one of these South African variants or Brazilian variants or UK variants turns out that the vaccines don't help them and we end up with another wave of a pandemic-like infection or some, you know, a lot of people getting sick, a lot of people going to hospital and we have to start to shut down again, that's going to change things a lot. But fingers crossed, the first scenario is what we see. I think in that sense, we should be back to normal in terms of going on vacations, going out to restaurants, going to Broadway shows, you know, having crowds at sporting events. It'll be revolutionary, won't it? Going back into the office and spending time with colleagues. So, all of these things that sort of we haven't done for a year, I think there's a lot of pent up demand. And I think people will rush in to try and get back to normal. I know how I feel, and I think a lot of people probably feel like it'll be great to get back to normal.
What is your forecast for stock market volatility over the next 6 months to a year?
Yeah, interesting question. I mean, I still think there's a lot of tail risk. The reality is the market volatility has kind of calmed back down, but we've been talking about it. I mean, there's potential for supply shortages on the manufacturing side. There already are looking like being supply shortages, but as people do start to get back to normal, will the services sector be able to gear back up? Will those restaurants that have closed be able to open back up? So there's potential for supply shortages. There's potential for inflation. If we see that supply shortages create demand push price rises, that we might see inflation go up. And if that happens, rates go up. That could have big headwinds for, you know, equity market valuations, but also longer term for servicing the debt. We talked about COVID variants. I mean, I think there's a lot of tail risks out there. So what's interesting is the options markets seem to be agreeing with what I'm saying. If you look at the VIX, which is a forward-looking indicator of volatility, it's hardly dipped below 20 for months, even though the actual market volatility has been well below that. So I think right now we seem to be in a little bit of a calm patch with what's actually going on in the market, but the markets themselves probably agree with me. There's potential for some increased volatility at some point in the next 12 to 24 months.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for sitting here and talking with me today. I've really appreciated your insight.
Matt, it's been great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime.